All right, thank you, Brother Choma. Let's get our Bibles out. We're going to the book of Psalms. And this evening, we're going to Psalms 112. Psalms 112. It's another one of the shorter Psalms. Very similar to the previous one, Psalms 11, 10 verses. And we're going to read all 10 verses together tonight for our scripture reading. Psalms 112, the 112th Psalm. I'm going to ask you if you can, if you'll stand with me. We'll stand together for the reading of God's Word as we normally will. We'll read these verses responsively. I'll read the first. You go. We'll join with me. On the second, we'll go back and forth to the end of the Psalm. Psalm 112, I begin reading in verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. See his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Together in verse 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And this evening, on Psalms 112, this is the title of that psalm, The Blessedness of the Righteous Man. The Blessedness of the Righteous Man. And let's pray. Father, I pray now that you bless the preaching of your word. Always our hope, our prayer, our dependency is that you bless, that you work, that you do something. And Father, we're thankful that it's not based on us. That's a pressure, a stress, Lord, that would be too overwhelming for us. But Father, you work beyond us, and now you do work through us, but you work beyond us, beyond our capability, beyond our talent, beyond our resources. And Father, we pray that you would do that tonight. We ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to start Psalms 112, very similar how I started Psalms 111, because they're very similar psalms. I will going to add something a little new here in a moment. But let me start the way we started here maybe a month or so ago when we were in Psalms 111. There are certain things that set the book of Psalms apart from other books in the Bible. Let me just stop for a moment. The Bible is given to us by God. God did not come up with it in the process of giving it to us. The Bible was already completed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, we talked about the human author because God did use man. We know holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, a little paraphrasing of that verse. But basically, God used men to be the human author, the human pen, as it were, to give us his word. And now it's preserved here in our King James Bible. And so we know that God is the divine author, the original author. So as we look at the different books of the Bible and we see the difference in them, we see the uniqueness, the variety, that's the word I'm seeking for, the variety in them, it's not because different men wrote differently. God wrote it all. It just tells us what a unique God, a God of variety, what a God of creation we have. So God gave us the book of Psalms. It's different. It's different than the prophets. It's different than Revelation. It's different than the epistles. Different than the gospel accounts. It's different than what we call the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. It's a unique book. It's poetical, but it's poetical because that's how the Lord gave us. So there are certain things about Psalms that, as the Lord gave it to us, sets it apart from the other books in the Bible that he gave to us. One, we said, is that the divisions are set already by the Lord. which is unique, because if we go to Isaiah, Isaiah has 66 chapters. Now, Isaiah did not write it like chapter 1, verse 1, blah, 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 verse 2, blah, blah, blah. Isaiah just wrote. Man came along later and divided it up, which is probably one of the best things as far as studying the Bible there is, that we're able to divide the book up and we can find what we're looking for. I mean, how many times has a preacher said, turn to this reference, and we turn right to it. We turn to the book, to the chapter, to the verse. Imagine if there's no chapter or verses. Imagine the preacher said, go to the book of John, find this statement. 15 minutes later, everyone's, okay, we found it now. I mean, you wouldn't give, it'd be kind of more difficult, more laborious in trying to find it. So man basically set up, divided, and so the divisions of chapters and verses are not inspired, but I think it definitely is a good help for us. But Psalms are divided. So Psalms 112, those 10 verses make up Psalms 112. That's exactly how the Lord gave it to us. Makes it unique. So the divisions are set by God. Then we said this as well, that Psalms is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. To me, that is an amazing fact right there. Of all the books in the Bible, the book that's quoted the most in the New Testament is the book of Psalms. And we said the most quoted Old Testament verse is Psalms 110, verse 1. Then we said this as well, and this is all just repeating from what we had said before. The Psalms is written with a poetical flavor. That's what it's written in a certain way, just like Proverbs. Proverbs is written in a certain way because it's a poetical type of book. That's how God gave it to us. So there's some uniqueness about Psalms in that way. Now let me give you something new that we haven't, I don't know we've ever talked much about. Maybe some previous Psalm a long time ago. But the book of Psalms itself is divided up into five books. Now that is man-made. So even though we have each psalm set up by the Lord, the man has come along and set up divisions within the book of Psalms. Five divisions are called five books. The first one is Psalms 1 through Psalms 41. The next is Psalms 42 to 72. None of this, okay, there is no test. You don't have to write it down if you don't want to. Just giving you the heads up on it. Psalms 73 through 89, Psalms 90 to 106, and then the last book is the book that we're in, the last division, starts in Psalms 107, going to the end of the book of Psalms 150. Now, the reason is because in each of those groups, there's similarity. So it's just like in our psalm book. If you go to our psalm book to a Christmas song, if you go to the song before it, often it's a Christmas song. You go to the song after, it's a Christmas song. And at a certain point in time, you run out of Christmas songs going forward and backwards. So all the Christmas songs are kind of in the same book in the psalm book. And so in the book of Psalms, a lot of the similar psalms are grouped together that way. And so that it helps us understand that if we just looked at Psalms 111, there's going to be similarity in the next psalm because they're in the same grouping together. So very similar in each of these groups. So what did we say about Psalms 11? We said it was an alphabetical psalm. Remember that? We said that there were 10 verses. Of those 10 verses, there are 22 clauses within those 10 verses. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Every clause started with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet and in succeeding order. In other words, starting, if it was English, A going to Z. Starting in the order, every clause started with the next Hebrew letter. And that's the same thing you find in Psalms 112. Now, I point out the similarity because now I want to talk about the difference. And the difference in Psalms 111, it's talking about the Lord's work, the greatness of the Lord's work. But we come to Psalms 112, God has kind of shifted it now and is talking about the blessing that he pours upon man and what that means for us. So let me take a moment, because I think probably humanly speaking, the person who's wrote the best book on the book of Psalms is Spurgeon. And here's what Spurgeon said about Psalms 112. It bears the same relation to the preceding, Psalms 111, which the moon does to the sun. For while the first, Psalms 111, while the first declares the glory of God, the second, the psalm we're at today, Psalms 112, the second speaks of the reflection of the divine brightness in men born from above. God is here praised for the manifestation of his glory, which is seen in his people. Just as in the preceding psalm, he was magnified for his own personal acts. The 111th, the previous one, speaks of the great Father. And this, Psalms 112, describes his children renewed after his image. The psalm cannot be viewed as the extolling of man, for it commences with, and if you go to Psalms 112, you'll see the first four words, "Praise ye the Lord." So it's not the extolling of man. And it is intended to give to God all the honor of his grace, which is manifested in the sons of God. So that kind of leads us, gives us a little background of Psalms 112. So what does it mean for us? That's all good. If we're in a Bible class, we'd have notes and we'd have a test following up on this, and hopefully you would pass the test. But this isn't Bible class. This is a Sunday night sermon. So what does it mean for us? So what? What's the reason? What do we glean from this? What do we gain from this? So what is it for us in Psalms 112 about this, the blessedness of the righteous man? Three things I want to share with you as we think about this. So let's go back to Psalms 112, and let's look at some verses together and try to make some application for us. So let's start with verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 3 again. Let me give you the point. It might help you better understand the verses. So number one, here's the first thing we want to understand. Our blessings are based on our obedience. God does not have pets. Well, you know, God just really likes them people. Look what he does for them. And over here, he must not like them because he doesn't do anything for them. That's not how God is. God is not capricious that way. God is not just flippant. God doesn't just, you know, say, well, I think I'll bless them. And no, not so much them. But yeah, I kind of like your smile. But you know, I don't really like you that much. That's not how the Lord is. Our blessings are based on our obedience. Let's go back to Psalms 112. Look at verse 1. Let's just read the verses. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The implication there is if you're delighting in them, you're obeying them. If you're fearing the Lord, you're obeying him. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, let me just, because we'll kind of hit this a couple more times, let me help you make sure we understand this, help you understand it. Old Testament, a lot of the blessings were physical, based on the nature of the kingdom, Israel, the kingdom of Israel and all that. Today, most of the things we think about as blessings are more spiritual-focused, spiritual-centered, dealing with the kingdom of God within us. So it's a different concept. Both are blessings, much more physical, at least in appearance, in the Old Testament, much more spiritual in appearance in the New Testament, but blessings nonetheless based on obedience. Now, we said, number one, our blessings are based on our obedience. God does not bless you based on your talent or your genealogy. If you have talent, you ought to use it for the Lord. But the talent came from the Lord. There's no reason to applaud you. There's no reason to pat you on the back. You're simply using what God gave you. Now, we can commend you for the character in using it, but the talent itself. If someone gets up and sings with a lovely voice that just brings you the tears, who gave them that voice? The Lord did. Now, we can praise the character in practicing and preparing, but the voice itself, the beauty of the voice, really comes from the Lord. And so God does not bless us simply based on our talent. Our talent is from the Lord. Nor does he bless you based on genealogy. Because you can't control who your parents were, good or bad. They are who they were. Or they are who they are. So you can't control those things. When you're born, you had certain talent already, certain creative ability. Now you can develop some abilities along the way. You can learn some things. But some people are much more creative than other people. Some people can pick up things and understand, or just musically that way. Kelly said this about Cole. You know, every time he's up here, he's playing a different instrument. Now, some people, one instrument would be quite an achievement. And so we have a certain ability given to us by the Lord. We may can learn some things, but also we have this ability to grasp certain things that we're born with. So God does not bless us based on talent or genealogy. Those things are often just given to us by the Lord, we have no control over. We have no control over those things, but we do have control over our obedience. You can control whether you obey God or not. The world doesn't control it. The society doesn't control it. Satan does not control it. It is in your hands to decide whether you're going to obey the Lord or you're not going to obey the Lord. And every act of obedience is blessed. It may not get the same blessing. You may get a certain blessing at one time and a certain blessing at another time, but it's still blessed. You may not get the same blessing that someone else got. We're not looking at each other, comparing ourselves among ourselves. Someone who obeyed God in a certain way may get a certain blessing. Someone else who obeyed God in maybe the same way gets a different blessing. But God blesses obedience. He's the great blesser. God blesses our obedience. Now, the purpose of the blessing is not to lift you up. The purpose of the blessing isn't so that people look at you and clap and praise you. That is not the purpose of the blessing. The purpose of the blessing is to lift up the Lord, which is why you may not get the blessing that you think you want. Because the blessing is not designed for your betterment, it's designed for His glory. You obey Him, God blesses you, and God gets the glory and the honor because that's how it's designed. So I want you to consider something carefully. There is what we call, and this is just a phrase we use, we've come up with, and it's been handed down, so I'll just use it again. There's a phrase we use called common grace. And by that we mean that there's certain benefits that you get just because maybe a situation you live in. You hear that prayer letter that Brother Choma read. When's the last time were you afraid that certain people are going to just, you know, stop you in the middle of the road and extort money out of you, other than you're driving through Lorraine at night? And so, just kidding. A little bit. So anyways, typically, that's not our fear. And if that was happening, if those things were happening, we'd expect someone to put an end to it. But obviously, it happens there and happens quite frequently. Now, that benefit you get simply because you were born in America. Now, there's certain blessings we have based on where we were born and the time we were born. Just because we live on this planet Earth, we get certain blessings, certain benefits of it. It's what we call common grace. It has nothing to do really with you. It's just the grace of God upon people. You have air to breathe. You have water to drink. You have food. It may not be everything that you want it to be, but we live, we breathe, we survive. It's the common grace of God. And there's also certain things that happen in our life because of hard work. There's an old statement people used to make. The harder I work, the luckier I get. I.e., hard work brings consequence, brings consequence, brings good things in your life. If you're not saved, but you work hard, you probably are going to have certain benefits come in your life because you're a hard worker. People like hard worker. They might move up in your business. You might do well in some endeavor you're involved in. So there is common grace. There is the consequence of hard work, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about specific blessings from the Lord because you're obeying Him. And those are not common as we may think they would be. God does not bless you if you're not obeying Him. Now, I want this to sink in. Because we give it lip service, but we don't really consider. If you look at your life right now, and you're not submitted to Him, and following Him, and yielded to Him, and obeying Him, then whatever is in your life, you cannot claim as a direct blessing from Him. It may be common grace. It may be the consequence of hard work. It may be because God has set up certain processes in life that bring about certain consequences. But you can't say that God has specifically put a blessing in your life if you're not living in obedience to Him. I'm not saying there aren't good things in your life. I'm not saying there aren't positive things. But that, we're not talking about good and positive. We're talking about specific blessings where God looks at you and says, here's what I'm going to do for you because of how you're obeying me. Blessing comes from obedience. Now, you can claim, and in fact, many do, many claim everything. Positive thing in their life, they claim, well, look, God is blessing me. I think it's good to give God credit for everything. I think it's good to praise God for everything. But that's not the same thing as God specifically blessing you because of your obedience. We can claim it's God's blessing. Now watch, it may look like God's blessing, but if you're not in submission to him, it is not blessing. Remember the story in the Old Testament? God sends Moses to Egypt, and he has a message, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, not going to do it. And so God is going to use Moses to bring about certain plagues. And he had that staff. Remember, he had the staff? And as a symbol, this is not one of the plagues, but as a symbol that God sent him, he was going to do what with that staff? Throw it down. And it became a snake. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But you know what else happened? The magicians of Pharaoh did the same thing. And it looked like they got the same God. Now, God had the upper hand because Moses' snake ate their snake. And they're like, oops, that didn't work so well. And then he picks the snake up and it becomes a staff again. What I'm saying is this. Some things may look like God's blessing, but it's not God's blessing if you're not obeying. God blesses obedience. Specific blessings based on our obedience to him. Now, why is that important? Why is it important? Well, what does it really matter, Pastor White? I mean, if good things happen, just because good things happen, or there's blessings because of obedience, you know, tomato, tomato, does it make a difference? It does. Because because of the impact on your life. When it's simply because of hard work, common grace, consequences of actions, then what happens is we become puffed up and proud because look at what I did. But when we know it's specific blessings out of obedience, then we say it's all because of him. We understand that he is the author of these things. See, the blessing will not have the same impact, the event, the consequence will not have the same impact in your life or even the life of others. It won't bring about glory to God like his genuine blessings do. God's genuine blessings, whatever they are, whatever that he's bringing into your life, not only is it the actual blessing itself, but it is the peace and joy that comes along with the blessing because it's from the Lord. The generic results, because of the consequences, often can bring stress and fear. You may make a lot of money because you're a hard worker. That doesn't mean you're getting blessed by God. And typically, when you make a lot of money from hard work, then you start fretting and fearing, how am I going to keep this money? How am I going to not lose it all the money? And then we become stressed out about it. But when I'm obeying God and God is meeting my needs, I don't have to stress out because the same God who met my needs here can meet my needs here, can meet my needs here, because as I obey him here and obey him here, obey him, I can trust him. So the blessing brings about peace and joy, where simply the consequence or the common grace can also create stress and fear. Let me show you a verse what I mean by this. Go with me to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Now, Proverbs is also a unique type of book. It is not prescriptive, it is descriptive. There's a meaning, definite meaning behind each of those words. But so we're describing, we're not prescribing a behavior, we're describing something. In Proverbs 10, look with me at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, it doesn't have to be a dollar sign there. It just means there's a positive benefit. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. But notice it doesn't stop there. And he addeth no sorrow with it. That's the difference of the blessing. The blessing is not just a positive, but then there's the lack of the negative, because God not only gives you blessing, but he brings peace and joy along with it. That's the blessing. That is the benefit of the blessing. So our blessings are based on our obedience. So when we look at our life, and you look at whatever positive is going in your life, you need to stop and say, am I obeying God? Because if I'm not obeying God, if I'm not really submitted and following him, none of these are really true blessings. They may come from the Lord because of his common grace. It may be because God has set up certain processes in life and certain ways of living that produces good consequences. But it is not a direct divine blessing like it could be. And when it's a direct divine blessing, that it brings him glory and it brings me peace and joy, whatever that blessing would be. So our blessings are based on our obedience. Second thing I would point out, and that brings us now to verse 3, Psalms 112. Now, I'm not going to tell you the point. I want you to think about what's being said here. So we'll pick it up in verse 3 again. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Look at verse 9. He hath dispersed. This is the righteous man, the one that God's going to bless. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. That brings us to big number two. So big number one is our blessings are based on our obedience. Number two is this. Our blessings, okay, I'm obeying God. God is blessing me out of that obedience. Our blessings should be shared with others. One way God is glorified in your blessings is when you share those blessings with others. Now, okay, so time out. We preached a few months ago, okay, basically we're not trying to help ungodly people to continue to live ungodly. We're not going to just go to a bunch of people who are shooting drugs in their veins and say, hey, how can I give you some money so you can keep shooting drugs in your veins? Okay, that's not, we're not trying to promote sin. Okay, and that's not what we're talking about. But you, if you really are walking with the Lord, I believe the Lord's going to bring people across your path that he wants you to help. Who are true people, true as far as they have true needs, sincere people. I know there's a lot of people out there playing games and doing, you know, they're just shysters. Usually the person who has a real need, you don't always know it right off. They're not the one, you know, I'm not trying to be unkind, okay, but they're not the one with the big cardboard sign saying, you know, please give me money because I'm too lazy to work. Okay, please give me money. Okay, that's not the person. It's usually someone who doesn't want to tell you. But when you find out, then you're moved to help them. And this is how we should be living. We should have a heart, a compassionate heart, to want to help people who have true needs. So one way God is glorified in our blessings is when we share those blessings, the benefits that God is giving us out of obedience, we begin sharing those with others. And the way we truly acknowledge that God is the author of the blessing is that willingness to share it with others. You see, if you think you're the author, if all it is I work hard and this is what I get, you know, and I invested my money and here's what I got from it, and I've really been a prudent and worked hard at, you know, not wasting stuff. So here's what I've gathered. Here's what I've done. That type of selfishness doesn't want to share. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard. Obviously, that's a good way to live, and there's nothing wrong with being wise about your finances and all that. But when I stop and realize that God has given me specific blessings because I've obeyed him, then it's not me who's earned it. He's given it. And he wants me to share it. In some manner of way, he wants me to share it with others. And that sharing of it is how we acknowledge that he's the author and how we also share that and share the glory of it, God's glory, with others as well. So if you think you're the author, you become greedy because you think that it is all yours. Go with me to James chapter 1. Hold your place in Psalms. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You're in Hebrews. If you get to Hebrews, just go one more book. It's James. Hebrews is a bigger book, so it's usually easier to find. It's a book after Hebrews. James chapter 1. Look with me in verse 17. When we understand verse 17, let's look at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When I understand verse 17, that every good gift is from above, that helps me to live verse 27. So let's look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To visit doesn't mean you knock on the door and say, hey, bud, how you doing? It means you go to these people In those days, if you didn't have a father or you didn't have a husband, fatherless widow, you didn't have any means of support. And so to visit them meant you went and made sure they had food, they had clothes, they were taken care of. You were concerned about them. Now, why would I do that? Why would I share that which I've got with them is because I realize He's given it to me. You know, when God is the author of the blessing, you're not worried about how much of the pie you don't have. Well, you know, if I give you a big section, the more pie you get, the less pie is for me. No, God doesn't work that way. God is not limited. Okay, let me just say this. He has all the pies He needs. Therefore, I can share with you because I know as long as I'm obeying Him, He's going to keep blessing me. I don't know exactly what those blessings are, but He's going to keep blessing me, and I can trust Him in that. And so I want to share it. I want to help others. It's not about me. It's not about what I can get and what I can gain and what I can heap up and hoard and hold on to. Just like often God's blessing can come through others to you, which often when God blesses you, He uses others to bring that blessing. God wants to then bless others through you. So you've been blessed through others. Now God wants to bless others through you. Now here is how we understand it happens, okay? Okay, the blessings come from the Lord to us. And then we share it with others. That's the how it happens, okay? That's the actual way it happens. God gives to us, and we share with others. That's not how it looks, though. From our human perspective, now spiritual eye sees it this way, but the physical eye, the way we actually see it, is that as I'm obeying the Lord, others are going to bless me. God's going to put it on the heart of others to be a blessing to me. And then God's going to put it on my heart to bless someone else. And God's going to put it on His heart to bless someone else. Now, why does He do that? Because who gave you the blessing? God did. And when you shared it with me, even though it came from you, I know the Lord met a need I had. Maybe she didn't even know I had the need. Let me ask, maybe this isn't you. It's happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. Have you ever had a need met by someone who didn't know you had the need met? The need? They just said, you know, the Lord just put this upon my heart, or I just feel like I need to do this, and they've shared something with you. A lot of times it's financial. It's not always that way. I told you the story before. Mrs. Crawford showed up, 3 bags of groceries. I'll shorten the story, 3 bags of groceries. She had no idea that we had no groceries. But she showed up with 3 bags of groceries. How would she do that on the day that we needed it? The Lord. So the Lord brings about the blessing. And as He's blessing me, okay, so you share with me, and I'm thankful, but I know the Lord did it. So the Lord gets the glory. And then the Lord puts them on my heart to share, and so I share with someone else. And He says, well, I know it came from you, but really it came from the Lord because all good gifts come from Him, and this is what the Lord has done, and He gives God glory. And so He shares with Dale. And Dale has his need met. And he says, well, you know, I know it came from Kelly, but really it came from the Lord, and all glory goes to Him. See how the needs are met, but God gets the glory? That's what the Lord wants to do. The Lord wants to do this. He wants to bless you, but then He wants you to share with others so that He gets the glory. We're not to hold on to it. We're not to hoard it. We're not to say, hey, come over to my house. Look in the closet here. Wow, look at all the things I got. Okay, that's not the reason for the blessing. The reason for the blessing is to share it so that the Lord gets glory again and again through it. Let me give you the third thought. So our blessings are based on our obedience. And these blessings that we receive in our obedience is to be shared with others. I would think because of their obedience, the Lord puts upon our heart to share that. And in both ways, the Lord gets the glory. Let me give you one more thought about this from Psalms 112. Go back with me now to verse 6. Surely He shall not be moved forever. Now we're talking about, in the context, look at verse 5, a good man. So we're talking about this fellow who's obeying. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be, watch this, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. But this is said in the context of his obedience. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish. So the wicked is different than that. But the righteous person, the Bible says, his heart is fixed, his heart is established. The Bible says his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The Bible says his heart is established, not be afraid. That brings us to our third thought. Based on our obedience, shared with others, number three is this. Our blessings provide stability in our distress. Let me give you a moment to try to explain this. When we understand that our blessings are directly tied to our relationship to the Lord, because we're saved people, and now our obedience to Him, and we know that God does not change, and we know that God is bigger than any storm. He's bigger than any need. We talked about this morning. We know that He doesn't change, and He is bigger than any of these things around us. We have a confidence and a security that allows us to weather any storm. Go with me to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Show you a verse, talk to you a little bit more about this and see if I can encourage you as it encourages me. Romans 11. Look with me at verse 29. We use this verse in a couple different ways, but I think it applies to how we're going to use it here. In verse 29 it says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And I think in part what it means is that God does not repent. God does not change His mind. He still blesses, He still uses things as He sees fit for the benefit of His people. He still blesses obedience. So I know the Lord does not change, and so therefore I have a certain confidence and security. Our lives, now watch me because I'm going to go slowly, I want you to get this. Our lives are never dependent on the blessing. Now listen to what I'm saying. My life is not dependent on the blessing. In my obedience, I'm not obeying because I got to have that blessing. I'm obeying because of Him. I know the Lord blesses obedience, but my life is not based on the blessing. My life is based on Him. There's a stability. You see, the blessing that I get may not be the blessing that I think I'm going to get. It may not be the blessing even that I wanted. I may say, you know, I'm going to obey the Lord because I really need this right here, and I bless the Lord and I get something over here. I don't know what the blessing is going to be. And it could be, one time it could be this blessing, another time it could be that blessing. I just know that God blesses obedience. And He gives the right blessing in the right way at the right time to produce the right result. But my confidence and my security is in the Lord because I know the Lord doesn't change. So our lives are never dependent on the blessing. Rather, our lives become dependent on the Lord Himself. We know the Lord can and will give the blessing that we truly need. See, as we follow Him and obey Him and receive blessings, it becomes more about the blesser than the blessing. And it may not be the same blessing as before. God can do, you think about when Jesus healed people, He seldom healed them the same way. Sometimes He walked up and touched them. Sometimes He just spoke it. Sometimes He just said, go away and it'll be that way. One time, and I always think this is kind of odd, I don't know why He did this, and it just really just seems kind of odd. He wanted to heal a blind man, so He spit on the ground, made a little bit of like clay stuff, and I'm always thinking, that's not the way I want to be healed. But He used that and put it on his eyes. He didn't do it for every blind man. Why did He do it for that one? I don't know. I don't know why God does exactly what He does, because if I did, I'd be God, and I'm not God, neither are you. I just know this, God blesses obedience. What I'm telling you tonight is, you can trust Him. He's a good God. We can follow Him and obey Him. We may not get the thing that we think we want, think we need. I'm simply saying, God is good to you, and He will be good to you if you obey Him. We can trust Him in this. This obedience, this blessing that comes from obedience, draws our heart to Him. It provides stability in our lives. Our blessings provide this, establishing our heart, fixing our heart on Him. So let's bring it all together. When we allow the Lord to be glorified in our blessings, then our heart is drawn to Him and not to the blessing. Even if we lose, in our minds, we lose the blessing In other words, we gain something, and then what we gained is taken away. Even if we lose the blessing, we acknowledge the loss because we know it's gone, but we still know the one thing that we always have. And what we always have is our relationship with the Lord. Let me bring you to a very common place, Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And in the context of what we're talking about receiving from the Lord and then seemingly losing it, but always understanding what the true blessing is, which is the blesser himself. Job chapter 1, look with me in verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am alone, escaped alone to tell thee." Now, the wealth in that time was really based on possessions like that. They didn't have FDIC-approved banks. So it was those oxen, that was his wealth, in part. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now, at that moment, his head is spinning because he's realizing, you know, all of this wealth is, it's like, you know, he's going from being like Elon Musk wealthy to being, you know, common man poor real fast. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now, at this point in time, the last thing Job wants is someone else to show up. I don't want to see another person come up and tell me anything. But there's still another one. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters are eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now, his head's got to be spinning. But there's one thing he knew. And he knew that God was his God, and that he did not doubt. Verse 20, "Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." The only way to handle the taken away is to know that the Lord gave, and the thing he's never taken away is himself. So here's what I tell you. We'll finish it up. This is what I would tell you. Don't be jealous of others. If you diligently obey, you will be blessed as the Lord chooses to bless you. No place for jealousy. Realize whatever blessing comes in your life are to be shared with the acknowledgement that they came from God. And the final thing is this: if God needs to remove those blessings, know that you always have the greatest blessing, Jesus Christ, in your heart. And that is never taken away from us. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, a very simplistic message from Psalms 112. But I think a great reminder about the blessedness that we have is in our obedience. But it's not a matter of we're just going to obey you and just have big bank accounts and big fancy cars and big huge houses. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our obedience allows God to bless us in some way, and then those blessings are shared with others so that you're glorified. And we know this because since the blessing comes from you, and we always have you because we're born again people, that even when the blessing may be in our mind or our eyes taken away, we still know that we have the blesser, which is the greatest blessing, the blesser himself. Now, Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us, number one, to be obedient people. Help us to know that we have specific blessings, not because simply we are hard workers or because we live in a land of prosperity, but because we are your people who are obeying you and you have purposely brought blessings to our life. Help us to recognize that. Help it to be true in our lives. Help us then, Lord, to share those blessings. In whatever form you give to us, help us to share with others so that you may be glorified properly. And then, Father, give us a certain established heart, a fixed heart, that regardless of whatever is taken out, removed from us, our confidence is in you, the blesser, not the possession of a blessing. Help us in these things, Lord. We're in our humanity and our flesh, Lord, we're weak in these ways. We acknowledge the truth of them, but Lord, we have a hard time putting it in practice. So I pray that you'd help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand with